This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. You're gonna have to turn that. It's not on. I think there's something off there. You know. No, this is on. Isn't there something? You have to fix something there. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Today inshallah you'll talk about Surah Al-Buruj. It's the final surah within the group, the second group of surahs in surah in juz amma or juz 30, the 30th juz of the Quran, the 30th, the last cluster of the Quran summarizes everything. And the first group talked about the pillars of taking a faith or accepting a religion. And the second group talks about choices. And we went through the first four surahs in this group that talked about choices from different angles. Surah At-Takwir talked about the sanctity of it, the holiness of the choice, the fact that it's granted to you by God Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Fitr talks about the fact that you're accountable for your choices. You're not making choices into a empty nothingness. You're making choices and there's accountability for them. Surah Al-Mutaffifin talks about the fact that they're recorded and that there are consequences both in this life and the hereafter. And Surah Al-Inshiqaq reminds us that the margin of our choices isn't as wide as we think it is. It's actually quite narrow. We don't have as many options as we think, so we're not making as many choices as we may think. So make your choices very, very carefully, very wisely, and make sure you're basing them on knowledge and on an educated understanding of what's around you. And that's kind of what Surah Al-Inshiqaq talks about. And you would think that that would be enough in terms of this, talking about this issue. But there's one more surah within this group that will talk about choices. And by far, this is the most effective for me, at least, in understanding the concept. And it's a very heavy one, Surah Al-Buruj, the constellations. I'm going to read the first couple of verses, and then I'll remind you a little bit of what the story is, and then I'll tell you what the purpose or point of the surah actually is. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ والله على كل شيء شهيد إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير. These verses in Surah Al-Buruj tells us a story. I'm not going to tell you that full story today because it'll take much more, way more time than I have actually available to me until Isha. But you do know the basic idea of the story is that a group of people somewhere in Shibh al-Jazeera, in the peninsula of Arabia, tried to change their religion while they were being ruled by a polytheist dictator, while they were being ruled by someone who claimed to be God or had a number of gods that he wanted people to worship. And they had found the concept of La ilaha illallah, and they wanted to believe. And what happened was that this king, this dictator, dug an ukhdud, a trench, filled it with wood, kindled a very large fire within it, and began to throw believers into it. He began to ask people to make a choice. Either you hold on to La ilaha illallah, and you're thrown into the fire, or you change your faith, you go back to how things were before, and we spare you. And that's how things went down. And a very known incident that is very famous within Arabia during the time of the Prophet. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ grew up hearing this story, not from Surah Al-Buruj, but from his uncles and grandparents and people who lived around him, because this story was very well known. It was a well documented. It's similar to the story of Ashab al-Fil. These are the tales that are told of the land. And the Prophet ﷺ, I can only imagine him listening to this story, wondering how this went down. How is it that people can do something like that? I'm not. Surah Al-Buruj is not interested in telling in diving into why a human being would throw another human being into a kindled fire. That's talked about elsewhere. Surah Al-Buruj is talking about an aspect of choices, which is the following statement. And if you understand this statement, you understand the whole purpose of Surah Al-Buruj. Not doing anything is a choice. Not doing anything is an action. It's an activity. It's doing something. If you choose to say nothing, well, that's what you chose to say. I mean, saying nothing is a choice. It's not passivity and indifference. If you just don't care, that's a choice you made. If you're passive, if you allow things to occur in front of you and you do not react and you have no input and you have no opinion and you have no effect, that's a choice. You're making that choice. You know, when you're a kid and something breaks in the room and your parents come right running upstairs and your first thing that you say is, "I didn't do anything," right? Now, it depends on where you are in the grapevine. It depends on where you are. If you're the youngest, you're safe. If you're the oldest, you're not. You didn't do anything? That's a problem. What do you mean? Why didn't you stop them? Why didn't you calm them down? Why didn't you remove this person? Why didn't you... So not doing anything for certain people doesn't work at all. It actually makes the punishment worse. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching in Surah Al-Buruj. The concept is very simple. Yawm al-Qiyamah, if you come and say, "I didn't do anything," He'll tell you that's the problem. Yawm al-Qiyamah, you decide to come and say, "I didn't do anything." Exactly. Exactly, you didn't do anything. And here's where the surah tells us a story so you understand it. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, I swear by the sky with its constellations that go upwards. In contrast to the trench that was digging that goes downwards. And there's always these contrasts in the surah and the Qur'an. If you think about them a little bit, you can always catch them. وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, and I swear by the promised day, which is يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, the day of accountability. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, and I swear by every witness and everything that was ever witnessed. This is the linguistic breakdown of these two words. Not talking about a specific incident that was witnessed or a specific witness. He is subhanahu wa ta'ala taking an oath by every witness, every person that ever witnessed anything, and every incident that was ever witnessed by a human being. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. Of course, when he makes an oath, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the surah, he's always drawing our attention to something within it. Like when نَازِعَاتِ غَرْقَ, like I explained at the beginning, it was talking about the nafs as a preparation so that we understand what's required of us, what the job and obstacles are going to look like. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. So he's making these oaths, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I swear by the sky with all its constellations. I swear by the promised day, and I swear by every witness and everything that's ever been witnessed. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٍ. May the people of the Ukhdud be punished severely. Now, who are أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ? Who are the people of الأُخْدُود? Here's the catch in the surah to understand who أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُود are. Because when you first hear the story, your mind will go and say, "Ashab al-Ukhdud are the people who threw the believers into the fire." Unfortunately, you would be mistaken. He's not talking about them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, if you're throwing a human being into a kindled fire, you're going to be punished yawm al-Qiyamah. It's talked about later on in the surah, "Innal ladhina fatanul mu'minina wal mu'minati," those who tortured or mistreated the believers, male and female. فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. And these people were going to be punished يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and they're going to be burnt just like they burnt others. So who are أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ? So the surah begins to continue, so I'm not going to make this up. The surah is actually explaining to us who they are, who أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ are. And then he explains, first of all, what the أُخْدُود is. النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ, the fire that is being kindled with fuel. And the fuel is the wood that's in it. And then he explains, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُود. Now the word قَعَدَ or قُعُود in the Qur'an has a specific usage. جَلَسَ is to sit. قَعَدَ means to sit back from doing something. جَلَسَ is just to sit. It's just what we're doing right now. قَعَدَ means there was something that you should have done, but you stayed back. You didn't do it. And that's what you find in the Qur'an. وَقَعَدَ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. You'll find it used quite abundantly in Surah At-Tawbah. Wherever he used, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word qa'ida or qa'ideen, an yakunu ma'al qa'ideen, He's not talking about those who are just sitting down. Sitting down is not a sin. It's those who stayed back from doing something they should have done. So it's as if the concept is figurative. It's as if you're supposed to stand up, but you chose to sit down. But it's not just sitting. It's not just the act of sitting down. So, idhum alayha, as they sat in front of the ukhdud, qu'ud, sitting back, abstaining from saying anything, abstaining from doing anything. They just witnessed it. Now, if you're like, no, I don't think that's correct, well, then just read the verse right after it. Idhum alayha qu'ud, wahum, these people, ashab al-ukhdud, ala ma yaf'aluna bil mu'minina shuhud. And they were, regarding what the perpetrators and the criminals were doing to the believers, they were witnessing it. They were witnesses to what the criminals did to the believers. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. And they witnessed what happened. This is a big problem within our mentality as Muslims today. The problem of being a bystander. The problem of saying, it's not my problem. It's nothing to do with me. I just don't care anymore. They can do what they will. People can behave however they want. This is their prerogative. I'm going to just take care of me. And then we draw a conscience blind eye to a lot of what happens around us, whether within the country that we live or elsewhere within the globe. We thinking that since we didn't actually cause the problem, since we didn't actually commit the crime, that somehow we are going to be exempted yawm al-qiyamah from being held accountable regarding that crime at all. And Surah Al-Buruj, at the end of this group of surahs, that's talking about choices, that told us our choices are sacred and there's going to be accountability and they are documented. There will be consequences and the margin is small, so choose wisely. At the end of it is saying, and by the way, being passive and indifferent and not doing anything is also a choice. It's a choice and you will be held accountable for that choice as well. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. May the people of the Ukhdud be punished. May they not be forgiven. May they not be forgiven. But why? They didn't do it. They didn't participate in this horrific activity. They didn't encourage it. They didn't support it. They didn't start it. They didn't actually do it. So why would they be punished for it? إِذْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ. Because they sat there and watched. Because they sat back. Because they had an option. They had an opportunity. They had a choice to speak up and say what needed to be said at the moment and stand for what was righteous and defend those who were oppressed, and they did not. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. See how many times the word shuhud now has been in the surah, right? وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. And then again, وَمَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. And regarding what the perpetrators, the criminals did to the believers, they witnessed it. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. And these criminals had no hatred towards the believers except the fact that يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Except they believed in Allah, the unfathomable and the praiseworthy. الَّذِي. But listen to how he continues talking about himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, here in Surah Al-Buruj. Unlike maybe other surahs. الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The one within his hand is the sovereignty of the earth and the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witnesses all. If he's taking an oath by every witness and everything that was witnessed, and he is saying the people of the Ukhdud were going to be punished, the ones who sat back and witnessed it and watched this atrocity occur and say nothing and do nothing about it, tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth, and he also witnesses everything. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shay'in. He saw that. He witnessed you witnessing it. And then he talks, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the two other groups. He talks about the group that actually committed the crime. Inna alladhina fatanu al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat. And then he talks about the third group, the believers. The believers who were thrown into this fire, who stood by their freedom of choice, their choice of faith, their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and accepted a fate that for you and I is something that is almost unthinkable. It's unimaginable for me to even talk about. I don't tell the story purposefully in detail because they're children and they're people who are faint-hearted. And to tell you a story of people who are being thrown into a kindled fire is very difficult to hear. But they did it. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير. This is the biggest win. They're going to be the biggest winners يوم القيامة. The fact that they stood by what they thought was right. But the bystanders, on the other hand, are going to be in a different place. Those who witnessed and said nothing and did nothing. Those who chose passivity, those who chose indifference. You see, the enemy of love is not hatred, it's indifference. The enemy and the opposite of empathy is not oppression, it's indifference. Really, the real problem with the world is not the people who are doing the crimes, because there are a handful of them. Those who actually find it are messed up enough on the inside to commit an atrocity, to commit a crime, to kill people, to mistreat people, to oppress people, to be racist, to transgress against them. They're very few in numbers. The vast majority of the human race are just shuhud, are the people in that gray area, gray zone in the middle. You're talking in the 90th percentile group of people who just watch, who witness, who see, who hear. You see, maybe back in the day, maybe many, many years ago, maybe not that long ago, maybe when I was a kid, yeah, even before that, before there was television and radio, and before we could actually communicate globally, before we could figure out what was happening, we only heard the story after the story was over. Maybe then it was less of a problem. But today, somehow we have enough money to document people's poverty, but not enough to feed them. Somehow there's enough wealth to take 5-6 angles of footage for people who are starving and people who are being transgressed against and mistreated and oppressed and people who are being tortured, but we just don't have enough to actually save them and do anything for them. And the problem is that we all actually get to see this. We are all watching it. We're all witnesses. Here's the fear of understanding. Here's the fear that I have with Surah Al-Buruj, is that we are all witnesses. We are actually witnessing all of it. We see it. We just scroll up because we don't want to see it. You don't want to hear. You don't want to see. It's too difficult. It's too hard. But I don't see the difference. I honestly don't see the difference between what we're doing and what the people of Al-Ukhdud did. I just don't see the difference. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودَ. Are we not witness to what they're doing? One of my teachers said that the most hopeful ayah that he knows in the Quran, this is his opinion, is in Surah Al-Buruj. In his opinion, this is the most hopeful verse that he, أرجى آية عنده. This is the verse that he feels is most empathy and rahmah. I asked him, so what is it? And this is what he told me. He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. What's after that? I know. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. He stated that indeed the ones who tortured and horrifically murdered the believers, male and female. At the end of the verse, he says, فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ. They're going to be punished in Jahannam. They're going to be punished with the hellfire. But in between what they did and the consequence of what they did, he inserted, subhanahu wa ta'ala, these three words. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. They did it, but they never repented. To say that had they repented, had they performed tawbah, then things would have been different. Had they performed any form of tawbah, then maybe that wouldn't have been the outcome. And here's the catch, I believe, in Surah Al-Buruj. The only way for them to perform tawbah was going to be if the witnesses spoke up. If you go into a mode of tyranny and mistreatment, and you find no one to speak up against you, you start believing that what you're doing is okay. You just start believing that what you're doing, even though somewhere deep inside you know it isn't. But if no one says anything, if no one is speaking up against it, if no one is objecting, if no one is pointing a finger, if no one is saying that this is not the right thing, then you will start believing that what you're doing is fine. There's no problem in it. So you keep on doing it. And why do you think Fir'aun continued to be Fir'aun? It's because of Haman and the people around him. Because they kept on blowing into it. Yeah, of course you have to oppress this group. Of course, you're better. Of course, you are a god. Of course. And he believes it after a while because no one's telling him you're wrong. They're all too scared. Everyone's too scared to say the truth, because if you say the truth, you're putting your neck on the line. But really, the truth and your neck have never been equivalent in any scale as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. They've never been equivalent. My life and the righteousness are not equal. My life is not worth righteousness by any stretch of the imagination. Al-haqq is more, is much more weightful, is much more valuable than anything that exists on earth. There's nothing, there is no situation or circumstance that allows us to say that al-haq here can be forgone, or we can push it aside, or something's more important. Nothing's more important. Nothing is more important than standing by what is al-haq ever, at any point. And that's just a fundamental concept within our deen. Fundamental within Islam is that al-haq is always the right thing. You always stand by it, you always support it, you always speak up for it. And these people who sat there scared, knowing that, imagine if you were in one of these witnesses' spots. You're sitting there, and literally you're watching an army throw people into a fire. You're going to speak up? Do you dare speak up? The moment you say something, you're going to be thrown in as well. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. Are you hearing what he's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala? قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. May they be punished. The people, وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودِ. Not only did they allow that to happen and not say anything, had they said something, maybe the perpetrators would have performed tawbah at some point and they would have been saved as well. Sometimes if you do the right thing, not only do you save the oppressed, sometimes you can save the oppressor as well. Sometimes if you say al-haq and you stand by it and you're not a bystander, and you're not a shahid, just watching from afar, sometimes if you say the right thing, not only do you save the oppressed, but you also save the oppressor as well. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. It's mind-boggling. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be offering this group of people who burned other human beings alive tawbah? He does. And he's in one way or the other blaming the people who watched and said nothing. He continues subhanahu wa ta'ala the surah, إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِيدُ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ فَعَّالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. He talks about himself for a moment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the wrath of your Lord is severe. Indeed, he begins it and he will bring it back again. He began life and he will resurrect and bring it back again. And he is the most forgiving. And he is the most loving. And he is the one who owns the throne. And he is the one who is most glorious. And he does what he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just reminding you, because you're wondering, well, Ya Rab, why didn't you? Why me? No, he does what he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't get to tell God what he can do and what he can't do, what he should do or what he shouldn't, or why he didn't do something or why he did. That's not our place. It's really not up to us. Really, the reason that we're here on earth is, go ahead, live life and learn to stand up for what is right. Learn to speak up for what is right. Learn that your life is not the most valuable thing in the world, but al-haq is. And that's the whole point of this, really. Just coming back to that simple point. And then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَثَمُودِ. You ever hear the story of the soldiers? Why the soldiers? Who's more of a bystander than a soldier? Who, when they perform one of the worst atrocities, you ask them, why did you do this? They say, Abdun Ma'mur. I'm just a commanded servant. I have no control. I'm just a soldier. Someone else is commanding me. And he gives the example of Fir'aun and Thamud. Because Fir'aun, as I explained to you a moment ago, the only reason he continued to be Fir'aun is because of his soldiers. No one spoke up. He believed that he was God. Imagine that you lead yourself and others allow you to lead yourself to believe that you're actually more than flesh and blood. It's insane. I don't understand it. Thamud is the everlasting example of ghafla, of indifference. The problem of Salih alayhi salam with Thamud was indifference. They just didn't care. You couldn't get them to care about anything. When people have too much wealth, they stop caring. It's hard to get a child to care about anything serious if they don't learn to carry responsibility early on in life. They become too indifferent. They just don't care anymore. Everything is a joke. Everything seems so simple. And then they see atrocities and they say nothing about them. Fir'auna wa Thamud. What do you think about the Junood? Where do you think they fall yawm al-qiyamah? بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. No, the problem is not that people are just indifferent. It's also that they're in a state of takdhib. How many times have we heard this so far? Are you seeing a pattern with me? Am I able to actually put this thread and sew it through all these surahs? You see how many times I go takdhib? This is the problem. The problem is that if the haqq is clear to you, but you just, for some reason, choose not to follow it, not to stand by it. You see, takdhib is not just refusing to follow al-haqq. Takdhib is also refusing to stand up for what is right. That's also a form of takdhib. A form of takdeeb is when you know this is right. You know that defending these people or speaking up for their rights or stopping them from being oppressed or speaking up against aggression of any sort or racism or supremacism or hatred, you know that's the right thing and you don't do it. It's takdeeb. Just a different form of it, but it's still takdeeb because you just watched, you knew what was supposed to be done, you didn't do it. You knew what was supposed to be done, but you didn't do it. Why? The question is why? Because you're not the one who caused the problem. Read Surah Al-Buruj and tell me if Surah Al-Buruj is giving you a pass. Tell me if Surah Al-Buruj is offering you an exemption. Yeah, you don't have to, as long as you didn't perform the crime, then you're fine. No, it's not saying that. It's not. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٍ. And they watched it, and they watched it. How many things have you watched? بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ. The problem is that they just don't want to stand up for what is right. وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses them all from behind them. It's as if you're walking and you don't notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right behind you, encompassing everything you've done. Every choice and every non-choice that you think isn't a choice but is a choice. Passivity and indifference is a choice. Not doing anything is a decision. It's a decision that you're making. You can't say, I didn't do anything. No, that you decided not to do anything. There's no such thing as I don't believe in anything. No. You believe in, everyone believes in something. And everyone's doing something. Sitting back and not, إِذْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُود. I just watched that. Yeah, I know. That's exactly what you did. You watched. And that's the category you'll come in يوم القيامة. There's no such thing that I had nothing to do with it. There's no such thing. There's no way. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to go. You're in this. And you can't leave the pitch and say, I don't want to play anymore. You're in it. It's already done. You're going to be held accountable. Make your decision. You can't say, I have nothing to do with it. I'm going to withdraw. You can't. That's not an option. That's not an option. It never existed. You're fooling yourself if you think that you can step away. You can't step away. You're in it. You have to make a decision. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. And indeed, the Qur'an is glorious and it is preserved in a place that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of. And that's the second group of surahs in Juz Amma. I think, in my humble assessment, it's one of the most important groups of surahs in the whole Qur'an, not in Juz. It talks about choices. I think we underestimate the importance and the value of our choices and our decisions. I don't think we care as much. I don't think we feel that we have impact on ourselves and the world around us. I don't think we believe that we actually matter. That our words and our decisions and our actions and our what we care about and what we hope for and what we do will affect the world. I don't think we understand that. And the Quran is not speaking except to people who value their choices, who see that their decisions are very valuable because they're sacred, they're God-given. Allah told you, you get to choose. No one can take that away. And no one's offered that but you. And he's telling you that you're accountable. They're being recorded. There are consequences. The margin is small. Choose wisely. And if you choose not to do anything, that is also a choice. And I'll hold you accountable to that as well. And that's the second group of surahs in Juz Amma. I hope you found it to be beneficial. Before we move on for prayer, as the numbers within the city continue to go up, alhamdulillah, we don't have as bad mortality rate as we had at the beginning. But we are seeing a surge in hospitalizations of people with COVID. If you ask me what wakes me up in the night screaming from a nightmare, is that somehow we close down and we can and I go back to praying me, Sheikh Ahmed and Sheikh Ra'id alone here in front of a camera. And I hope that we don't come to that. But I think we all have to be a bit wise in terms of what choices we make regarding it. So I think there's a few things. If you're feeling ill for any reason, just don't come to the masjid. Not this masjid, for any masjid. Just don't go to any masjid. Don't come here and then go somewhere else. Just don't go to any masjid for that night if you're feeling ill, if you're not feeling well. Make sure you have a rapid test at hand and use it and see if that you do have it and isolate properly. And if you're someone who feels a little bit ill, continue to wear masks. I would encourage, if you're someone who is not vaccinated, because we're not asking people, you should be, but we're not asking the question. Or if you're someone who is immunocompromised, or if you're someone who was exposed to someone who may have it, then just wear a mask and try and keep everyone safe so that inshallah we can continue to enjoy Ramadan in the form that we're enjoying it. I think everyone, to be honest, all around the city, the masajid are packed. If you look up front when you're coming in, you'll see 12 different places where Taraweeh is happening. They're all full. All of them are packed. People, you know, are coming out because I think after 2 years of realizing that this is the biggest ni'mah that we had. And when it was taken away, we, inshallah, all learned the lesson. And we're coming out to masajid and we're participating in prayer and we're being a part of it. So we hope to be able to continue that. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallah bihamdik. Shukran la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.